After being forced to evacuate Zuccotti Park early this morning, Occupy Wall Street protesters promised to continue a movement that has spread nationally, in some cases globally. The movement created a focal point for fears about the country's growing income gap, and President Obama and other politicians have picked up on the theme in recent weeks, as many in the middle class continue to face long-term unemployment and stagnant incomes. In a recent op-ed in the Weekly Standard, Matt Continetti argues that the issue of inequality has shifted the political ground to the left. Republicans, he says, were largely caught off guard by the populist surge and have been too quick to dismiss the left's arguments about income inequality. And we would like to hear some from some Republicans. What would your or should your party do on the income of on the issue that is of income inequality? 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Matt Continetti is the opinion editor for the Weekly Standard. His op-ed about inequality was published in this week's issue, and he joins us here in Studio 3A. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Matt, you argue that the right has not responded coherently to the arguments on inequality. What's at stake here? Is this issue going to hurt Republicans going into the 2012 elections?
Well, according to the polls, it has every possibility to hurt the Republicans. When you ask about the fate of the Bush tax rates, say, the public is behind efforts to repeal them, and they side with President Obama on that. So it's certainly an issue that galvanizes media opinion, and I think as a function of that, it could galvanize public opinion as well.
A recent poll by the Wall Street Journal found three-quarters of Americans agree with an argument that the power of banks and large corporations should be reduced. Is this a view that tends to benefit the left?
Right. Well, I think I would distinguish between the findings in that poll and then the overall debate about income inequality, because I think inequality that the people are worried about in that poll is political inequality, the inequality of the banks to shape public policy, for example. And there, I think, there is some room for everyone on whatever side of the spectrum to agree about restraining the political equality of the, or rather, enforcing political equality among the various interests.
That's sort of what the Occupy Wall Street movement seems to be about.
There's a variety of things the Occupy Wall Street movement seems to be about, and I've been following it pretty intensely. There are things that the liberals want the Occupy Wall Street movement to be about, and that is primarily the issue of income inequality. But I think if you talk to the occupiers and if you read their theorists, the people that write the books that inspire the people to occupy Wall Street or McPherson Square here in Washington, D.C., they have other concerns, and they're much more against everything, against the structure of government in this country, against globalization, against war. It's not just the issue of income inequality for them.
But on the issue of income inequality, how do you think that conservatives should recapture this argument?
Sure. Well, my problem with a lot of the conservative response so far to these debates is that on the one hand, there are those who deny the fact of income inequality by citing social science research. But to deny the fact of it is not to deny that it's a problem. It's just to dispute whether the problem exists. And then on the other hand, you have some conservatives who want to kind of outdo the left or say, well, you're right, income inequality is a problem, but here are the responses that we should have as conservatives. But of course, if those responses don't work, then you open a space for the left to do their responses. And so in my piece that you cited, I argue that maybe the conservatives should return to an earlier understanding of what equality was, and that was the understanding of the founders. There's been a lot of interest in the founding fathers over the last few years that we see in the Tea Party movement, for example. And the founders never thought about equality of income as the concern of government. They thought the concern of government ought to be the equal protection of rights, including those rights that lead to inequality of income, the right of property, for example. And I think that's a much firmer ground for the right to make a stand on and to say what the right is supporting is a vision of government that the founders supported in the Declaration, in the Constitution, but that so few people today on both left and right actually pay any attention to.
Is there so an inequality of property? You mean not just real property, but material property?
Right. Well, the whole founding, right? The phrase from Locke that Jefferson appropriated for the Declaration was the life, liberty, and property. He changed that to happiness. But that meant that, you know, we have certain rights, and the exercise of those rights and our differing abilities is going to lead to different accumulations of property. And so they wanted to protect the rights, not equalize the property.
Let's take a call. You can join in the conversation and give us a call here at Talk of the Nation. And Ed is on the line with us now from Denver. Ed, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What can we do for you today? What are your thoughts about income inequality?
I basically kind of parallel what was just said. I think the role of government is less to make the accumulation of property equal, and more to make the accumulation, the opportunity equal. And what I've seen happen in my lifetime is that the access to quality primary education and higher education has become more and more difficult for anybody that's not in the upper class. And I think that's what should be focused on, is making sure the opportunity is equal from birth.
And do you think that that your party, the Republican Party, needs to do something about this? Or what should they do?
I think they need to admit that it's a problem. Mm. I think that's the biggest thing. If we really believe in what we say, that you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, if you really believe in that, then that means that there shouldn't be a big difference in opportunity between a rich son and a poor son.
All right, Ed. Thanks very much, Matt. Do you agree with that? Does the Republican Party, does the government not do enough to encourage education equality?
Right. Well, I would agree that there are problems with their education system, and certainly the founders, especially Jefferson, believed that education was going to be crucial to the fate of the Democratic Republic that they were creating. And we see today that there are plenty of problems with their educational system. Both left and right agree. But then it gets into this case of, well, what are the problems and what are the solutions? That's a conversation that I think the founding fathers would want to have. And it's a conversation to be conducted on the level of reason and, you know, what are the appropriate powers of government and such. So I agree with the caller. I think he makes some interesting points.
The Republicans who have been campaigning for president have talked a lot about the economy, a lot about the jobless rate, but not so much about the issue of income inequality. Should they be?
Well, I think so, because I think once you grasp equality from the point of view that I'm talking about right now and that I'm writing about in the Weekly Standard, it becomes actually a pretty powerful issue for conservatives or for whoever wants to get it, because obviously the founders of this country were very intelligent men and far-seeing, and they had a vision of equal rights of all, and that the role of government was to protect the equal rights of all, specifically those rights that we have as our by nature of being human, such as the right to life and the right to conscience and such. Those things we read about in the Bill of Rights, that this is the template, I think, for an agenda that actually could sway a lot of people in the middle.
Frank joins us on the line from Hollywood, Florida. Frank, your thoughts about income inequality and the conservative movement.
First of all, excellent topic. I appreciate it. I am a fiscal conservative. I've been one since 1986, when the first time I ever voted. And then I like to mention that the inequality, the discussion is all great, but for instance, I'm unemployed right now. I just retired from the military, and I'm looking for a job, and it's very difficult. We can have all these conversations about how the liberals think and how the conservatives think, but at the end of the day, if I don't have a job, I don't really care what the two parties think. I really don't care how they're campaigning. If they don't provide the means for myself and others, because there are a lot of us out there, both conservative and liberal, who simply do not have employment.
Thanks very much, Frank. And Matt, that's an interesting point. I mean, if you don't have a job, I guess a lot of this discussion about income inequality is sort of irrelevant at best.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that's one reason why the occupiers, for example, have had traction, is that we do live at a time of high unemployment. And then the discussion becomes, well, I think, twofold. One is it the government's role to provide jobs mm-hmm. for the public? And two, What type of climate should the government foster for industry and for entrepreneurship, for example? Those are questions that aren't easily resolved, and I personally don't believe that it's the government's role to provide jobs for everybody. I do believe, on the other hand, that there are certain policies that we have had enacted, especially in the last few years, that have made it harder for people to find work. And so there's an example of we can go through the different policies.
Well, right, and the one thing that you do hear from the Republican candidates is the need to get rid of some of those quote-unquote job-killing regulations that have kept people from hiring. I don't know if that's the book is still open as to whether or not that's actually occurring, but clearly the argument is made that the government has gotten too big and interfering with the private sector.
That's right. Or certainly, the strongest case on that would be that what the government has done in the last few years just hasn't worked. I mean, we've spent $800 billion in stimulus money. We've had record deficits of more than $1.5 trillion over the last several years. And by every expectation of our economists in the White House especially, you would think that we would be producing jobs, but we haven't. So then perhaps it's time to seek other alternatives and maybe rethink our assumptions.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So, Matt, is this largely, do you think, would you say that this whole discussion is kind of a trope of the left about income inequality, or is it something that that your side needs to seriously engage in?
Right. Well, it's certainly a trope of the left, right? I mean, because the banner of the French Revolution was liberty, fraternity, and equality. And ever since the revolution, when our categories of political thought came into being, left and right, equality has been the great quest of the left. And they view that equality not only in the equality of rights, like I mentioned, but also the equality of things, the equality of goods. And so this is definitely the left's ground. What I'm saying is that the conservatives have an opportunity to try to take us back to the ground that existed before the earthquake of the French Revolution, and in the way that the founders of this country discussed equality, which is very different from the way that we discuss it today.
Quick email from Stephen in San Rafael, California. I believe people who have no problem with meritocracy, where those who work smarter and or harder are more amply rewarded, or witness the popularity of someone like Steve Jobs. The problem arises when some are able to amass great fortunes, not through merit, but through corruption and the influence of money in the system. What about that corruption, influence of money in politics?
Right. Well, I don't think anybody would be for corruption. You don't have the corruption caucus in Congress, even though some of them have issues with it. No one's for corruption. And I think the emailer raises a good point, which an earlier caller did too. What about these wealth that is not justly acquired? And there, I think the founders would have a problem with that sort of wealth. But that just takes us to the question of what is justly acquired? And that's a conversation we ought to have.
Matt Continetti is the opinion editor for the Weekly Standard. He joined us here in Studio 3A. A link to his piece about inequality can be found at our website, npr.org. Matt, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.